Decent Fellows Press presents When the Devil Drives by L.J. Haywood. Narrated by Rowan Scott. When the Devil Drives. April. Chapter 1. Jack. Jack Reardon groaned and lifted his head enough to face the shadowy presence beside him. Ethan Blade, the most irritating person in the world, lay on his side, head propped up on one hand, pale eyes eerily visible in the darkened room, and fixed on Jack. The bastard sounded annoyingly alert and refreshed. "Oh good, you're awake." Glaring, Jack mumbled, "I wasn't." Belly down in a soft bed, sleeping off two orgasms, Jack was quite willing to punch Ethan, except he didn't have the energy. And frankly, neither should Ethan. Instead of being nearly comatose, the man was alert and shifting restlessly. Jack didn't know what had caused Ethan's aversion to bare feet, but the feel of his socked feet sliding against Jack's legs was absurdly erotic. Combined with the fingers he drifted up and down Jack's spine, it inspired the possibility of being interested in contemplating what they could do next. "I'm sorry." Ethan's attempt at a contrite tone failed. "I believe I'm still on Johannesburg time. I'll let you sleep then." He didn't move, just kept watching Jack with obvious intent. "Jesus," Jack muttered into his pillow. "There's clearly something you want to do. I might not respond much, but go ahead, knock yourself out." Ethan's low, throaty chuckle went a long way to fanning the spark of interest. It was a sound usually guaranteed to make Jack want to do stupid things. All it got this time was a slight lessening in Jack's annoyance at being woken. "I only had talking in mind. However, given such carte blanche, I might be persuaded to change my mind." His fingers trailed lower, and Jack wondered if this was Ethan working his way towards asking to top. Jack had been waiting for it patiently, hoping Ethan wanted it too, but was unwilling to press the subject. Ethan had, after all, never pushed Jack on his no kissing on the mouth policy. Ethan's hand reversed direction and travelled back up to Jack's shoulders. The assassin dug his fingers into the curls of hair laying across Jack's neck. "Tomorrow's Saturday." Ethan dropped his head to rest on Jack's pillow, close enough that his breath puffed across Jack's cheek.
"That's great. You can read a calendar."
Secretly, Jack was pleased. Given any regular weekend, Jack might or might not be working, depending on whatever job the Office of Counterterrorism and Intelligence had for him. Right now, he and Harry, his second, were still watching Delta Subject for external threat assessment. The Indonesian national was in country on a student visa and financially supported by his mob-associated uncle, but he was an incredibly low-level threat, and sitting a tier two up on him was like watching paint dry. At a stretch, there were reasons why Delta Subject should be monitored, but Jack considered it a very long stretch and had told the Singaporean unit leader, Kerry Singh, as much with every report he gave on the subject. She didn't agree, and thus Jack was still wasting his time. So he'd told the office he was taking the weekend for himself. Harry could reach him if something significant happened with Delta Subject. It was all about optimizing opportunities, because who knew when a seemingly harmless situation might explode into something major. It may have also had something to do with Ethan having hinted he would be back in the country this weekend. Ethan rolled his eyes at the calendar quip. "I have plans this weekend, and I was hoping you'd like to join me. I'll understand if you can't due to work, or just don't wish to." Ethan nuzzled Jack's jaw. "I plan to leave around 3 a.m., and I'd appreciate being able to share the driving." "Wait a minute." Jack shoved Ethan back far enough that he became mildly less distracting. "Share the driving? What are you talking about?" Christ, the man still couldn't manage a straightforward conversation. Ethan knew exactly what he'd done to Jack by the smug tone to his British accent. "I'm going to the Gold Coast tomorrow. I've been asked to drive in an invitation-only charity race on Sunday. A man I've known for a while secured me the invitation." Jack took a moment to digest that on several different levels. One was a memory of Ethan behind the wheel during a police chase through Sydney, looking sublimely content. Transported out of his brutal, lonely life as an international assassin and into a place where he was in complete control. A place where he was just Ethan.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?